Hello, there it is. It is Kettles and Rami.
Slow down, Rami. You don't have to jump.
My bad, man. It's been a week since I got on a mic. Jay, I'm anxious. I'm eager. I'm ready to get after it. On a Tuesday. It's Tuesday, right? I've been gone a week. I lost track of days. It is Tuesday here on Kettles and Rami, Sacktown Sports. Good thing I'm back because Kettles just fumbling around a little bit as he gets ready to start the show. Sanitizes everything and makes the transition from Deuce and Mo to the Kettles and Rami show.
Well, the headline is a thing, okay? The headline is a thing. The headline is what gives me just enough time to be ready.
That's a crucial 60 seconds.
Yeah,
that is a crucial 60 seconds for Nick Kettles.
It's big. And so if we have a shortened headline or no headline, this is what happens.
Throws them all off.
So thankfully, yes.
Throws them all off.
You are here today.
Good thing I am here. And not only good thing I'm here for that reason, but the Maklof magic was needed, man. The Maklof magic. Now the Kings
They won on Friday and Saturday.
But, I mean, they can go ahead and clinch a playoff spot now.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't going to happen till I was back in this chair.
So do you think De'Aaron Fox last night was like, you know what?
I don't think they know. They just, I mean, they don't know what it is, but they feel it. They're like, there's something a little off. There's just something a little off. You know what I mean? They feel it. They know. They don't know what it is, but they know. It's just something a little off. But I'm back.
The feeling in the air is a little bit different. Yes.
And you're welcome.
You are back.
Yes.
We're happy to have you somewhat. We'll see how it goes the rest of the way. We got a full show, so hopefully you are ready to go 4 full hours, my man.
We'll see.
Last night was disappointing.
Yes, it was.
And all of us were excited. Look, it's not the end of the world. As JJ and I said yesterday on the show, it's not the end of the world if you lose tonight. It's not the end of the world if they don't clinch. But all of us were excited. We were anticipating the clinch. We were waiting for the clinch. We thought it was going to happen, and it didn't. Here was De'Aaron Fox in the postgame about the thoughts of closing it out last night.
Yeah, I mean, guys wanted to clinch a playoff spot at home and wanted to share it with our fans. But like I said, at the end of the day, regardless of where we do it at, I think it's going to be people are going to be appreciative and people are going to love it. So I think it's big for myself, for the fan base. Obviously, you know, not being in the playoffs for 16 years, you know, it's going to be a big deal. But like I said before, it's a step into it's a step closer to making your true goal. And every competitor wants to win a championship, and that's just one step that you have to take to get there.
So I'm glad D. Fox admitted, yes, we wanted to do it here. We wanted to do it in front of the fans. We just weren't able to do that. Here was Domas's take in the postgame.
I mean, every game leading up to this is the same thing. You know, if we didn't win those games, we wouldn't have put ourselves in this position. So I feel like that really wasn't on our mind. You know, if anything, it was we wanted the fans to have fun, you know, and do it here at home and be with them. But, you know, we got next game coming up. We're going to focus on that, you know, and the goal is to get the winning clinch.
It's inevitable. They're going to get in. We all know that. They're 45-30, 3-seed right now, 2.5 games back of Memphis. They're 5 games ahead of the Suns. Rami, was last night's loss more about the Kings losing, or was that a credit to the Wolves winning that game?
The Wolves threw a lot of things at the Kings that gave them some problems, man. They threw a lot of things at them that gave them some problems. And, Nick, you know there have been plenty of times where I've come here after a loss, even some ugly losses, and I just go, meh, whatever, no big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Blip on the radar. I've seen a lot of good basketball teams, and I happen to believe that this Kings team is one of them, and even the best basketball teams, they have blips on the radar and nights or even stretches where they're just not themselves, shots aren't falling, whatever the case might be. This wasn't one of those, man. I mean, for the first maybe quarter and a half, I didn't feel like and maybe it was jitters, maybe it was butterflies of, oh, hey, we can end the playoff curse.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I felt like the first quarter and a half, just energy and body language-wise, the Timberwolves, who are a team that's fighting for their playoff lives or to stay out of the play-in tournament, they seemed much more like a team that embraced and was ready for the moment than the Kings were. But after that first quarter and a half, I didn't feel like that was the difference in the game. The difference in the game was the Timberwolves made it really hard on the Kings and made the Kings play their speed and their style of basketball with their size, with taking away the three-point shot. That was a Wolves team that caused some problems for the Kings last night. That was the Kings getting beat and not just, you know, it's a make-or-miss league.
I'm glad you brought up the pace and the speed of the game because I want to start there. I thought the Kings could have done a much, much better job of impressing upon the T-Wolves their style of basketball and saying, look, we're going to speed you up. We're going to push the pace of this game. And the game just was not played the way the Kings want to play. Will Z tweeted this today. The game's pace last night was 96, which was the fifth slowest game the Kings have played all season. They only had 9 fast break points, which is well under their almost 15 a night. And for reference, Will Z tweeted, the Cavs have the slowest pace in the league at 96.8. The Suns are last in the league with 10.5 fast break points per game. So if you just took that one game last night in a vacuum, you were the slowest team in the NBA and scored the least amount of fast break points in a game in the NBA. That's what we saw. And that's not how this team lives. That's not what they do. So it was some of Minnesota kind of imposing their will on the Kings and slowing the game down. But I thought it was also the Kings not willing to push the pedal for whatever reason. The guys just kind of took a little while to get it going. And even when they did, it still wasn't at the pace that we want to see from them.
I think it was about the five and a half minute mark that they said on the call on NBC Sports California that De'Aaron Fox had only 3 field goal attempts at that point.
Yeah.
And he obviously hit the gas pedal. I think as they were saying that, he was driving to the hoop and hitting his first layup and plus an and one of what ended up being a really good second quarter for him. But, Nick, that's a quarter and a half that your best player took 3 field goal attempts. That you can't have that. And like I said, especially when you have a team, a young, hungry team like the Timberwolves that's hitting their stride, and they know and they know this from last year and sort of being the Kings of last year, that young upstart team that shocked the NBA and found a playoff berth. They know that this is time to push that gas pedal and to show a little urgency and a little desperation. And especially for that first quarter and a half last night, they were the team that showed that. And we've been saying since the All-Star break that the Kings have embraced this moment. They've embraced the challenge of what it is to fight and scratch and claw and jockey for position heading into the playoffs. Last night was really the first time since the All-Star break that I saw a team that looked more ready for that than they were.
Cattles and Rami. Rami back today on this Tuesday with the Sactown Sports. It was a missed opportunity to me. That game was winnable. Here was HB speaking about the opportunity that they swung and missed on last night.
I mean, I think, you know, it's just changing the mindset of if it's not just trying to clinch and then the season's over. You know, everything for us, like I said, is continuing to just get better every single game. I think we have aspirations of a good postseason. So for us, it's focusing on that and just keeping it one game at a time. Like I said, tonight was a missed opportunity, but, you know, we have another game in a couple of days and just focus me better for that.
Now, I thought they did have opportunities from three-point land to make the Timberwolves pay. And I'll go back to Will Z. Will Z, he tweeted this, that 21 of the 27 three-point attempts that the Kings had last night were categorized as either open or wide open. 21 of the 27.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm surprised by that because it seemed like the Wolves are making things hard for them in terms of getting in their face on those shots and also just running them off the three-point line and with good defense and discouraging them from taking those shots.
I will say this, that the open slash wide open look, that's that it also surprised me when I saw it. And I know Deuce tweeted out today that he watched the game back last night and he counted at least 10 threes that were good looks that, you know, they could have easily hit more than 10 threes last night. They got decent looks. I will say the one thing that the T-Wolves do a good job of compared to other teams that I've seen this year, they do a decent job forcing the Kings to work on finding those open threes. And they do a good job against the DHO game. And I know that Kevin Huerter, we'll talk about him in a little bit. He got into foul trouble. But even when he was out there, their bigs do a better job fighting through the Domas screens. And they do a better job of causing some discomfort with that DHO. Usually when you watch the Kings run that, it is clean. It's like, it's a wide open look every single time. King and teams struggle to defend that. I think the Wolves do a better job of doing that. Something else that I thought that the Kings needed to do a much, much better job on the defensive end last night. And that's not a surprise. We've talked about that all year long. But you only forced 6 turnovers from Minnesota. And Minnesota's better now taking care of the basketball ever since the Russell and Conley trade. That's the reason why they traded for Mike Conley, because they were turning the basketball over at an alarming rate with D'Angelo Russell. But that is a team that you can still speed up and cause some issues. And the ball pressure wasn't there. The pickup points weren't there. I'm talking consistently from beginning to end. And you never really, it never felt like they made Minnesota uncomfortable offensively. It always just felt like Minnesota was going to run what they wanted to run. They were going to touch the paint when they wanted to. They were going to find an open three when they wanted to.
Yeah, you mentioned the 6 turnovers. That was the second fewest that the Kings have forced all season, and the second fewest that Minnesota had given away all season. So that part of the game was out of character for both teams. And that's one of those things, Nick, that when I see it, it's the second worst performance for your defense and the second best performance for their offense. That is one of those things where I can look at it and go, probably just a blip and nothing to worry about. Because even though the Kings aren't a good defensive team, one of the things that they have been good at defensively, and this is one of the things that Mike Brown will sometimes point to go, or other coaches who we've talked to, maybe our defense isn't as bad as some metrics or some numbers might make it look. They're good at getting in the passing lanes and getting those steals and starting some fast break or transition offense. That's been one of their strengths this season. So I don't worry too much about that. There were things I saw in last night's game that I didn't like, and Mike Brown said afterwards that he didn't like, that were sort of learning moments for not necessarily for the team, but us learning about the team,
right,
and what they can do in the playoffs and what might cause some problems for them in the playoffs. But the turnovers and their defense looking even softer and easier to break than it usually is, that isn't necessarily at the top of my list of things that were red flags from last night's loss.
Inconsistency on the glass, too. I thought they had a very off and on night when it came to rebounding. In the first quarter, they were terrible. In the second quarter, they were much better. Later in the game, in the fourth quarter, they gave up some big offensive rebounds to the Timberwolves that just killed them. There was that stretch where the T-Wolves had back-to-back offensive rebounds, and it was still a game at that point. I think it was a 2-possession game. You're giving up 2 rebounds back-to-back in that situation. So
yeah, that was tough.
I'm going to lean more towards it was the Kings last night instead of the Wolves. I think the Kings, their inefficiency from three-point land is very unusual. And I think they could have done a much better job on the glass from 18, first to fourth quarter.
18.5% from three?
Yeah, brutal.
Only hit 5 of them?
I mean, how many times has that happened this year?
That's true.
Not many. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Phone line's wide open for you if you want to talk about the game last night. Also, don't forget, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. When you swing by, give us that thumbs up. And we also have a website for you to check out, sacktownsports.com. We'll get to your reaction on the Kings last night against the Wolves. Also in 90 seconds, the Kings others. It just took too long to show up.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
It is 2:15 on this Tuesday. Time to check out Coastside Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. Before we get to the Kings others last night, Rami, some interaction here on the YouTube, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
We're gonna
dive a little deeper into this later on in the show, but Javier says, man, I'm scared to play against the Timberwolves in the playoffs.
I might agree with you, Javier. I just might agree with you.
There is definitely, we've talked about this plenty of times, right? There is definitely a type of team that drives the Kings bananas.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it all year. We've seen the long, big, oversized teams cause a little bit of chaos for the Kings. And it's the lack of length. It's the lack of some athleticism in spots. The overall size of the team. I mean, Metu didn't even play last night because you can't play him in that game. You can't play him at small ball 5, really. So, again, we'll dive a little bit deeper into that thought. But, I'm sure Kings fans were thinking that last night watching that game.
You're a combat sports guy.
I am.
Some fights are about style.
They are.
By the way, I saw Creed 3 last night. Very good. Very good.
Don't say a word. Haven't seen any 3 of them.
Really?
Nope.
That came highly recommended by Christopher Lodd, who's still hanging around.
I got to catch up. I got to catch up. All three.
What?
I said it, all three.
What?
Judge me if you'd like. I got to catch
I
up
I am. I'm three. Sitting here judging you right now.
Yeah. Well.
Wow.
I'm disappointed in myself. I gotta figure it out. Okay?
Wow.
I gotta
what about John Wick?
I have to be better.
Are you up on the Wick?
No.
Oh
none
my
of them.
God.
Verlade's disgusted.
Wow, dude.
He's probably now.
Just leave right now and go watch these movies.
He's regretting,
I got it.
He's regretting that he sat next to me on Saturday night for a couple of beverages. He's like, I can't believe what I sat with that
guy. That's all I would be talking about.
Beamtown, Kings were playing from behind almost the entire game. No, they weren't. No. It wasn't almost the entire game.
They were leading at halftime.
They led at halftime. If the third quarter was back and forth the entire quarter. Fourth quarter was mostly back and forth. It wasn't like the Kings were facing insurmountable odds here, and they were playing from 6, 7, 8 points behind all night. First quarter was bad. Second quarter was better. Third quarter was a back and forth. Fourth quarter, you fell apart defensively. You gave up offensive rebounds. You gave up drives to the basket. That's what happened. Scooter 916, Kings beat themselves last night. Very, very winnable game, even with as bad as they played. A couple of shots dropped. Keegan had 2 threes that were all but down, and we're talking differently. I thought that they had good enough looks to win that game last night.
That is a fair point. I still think the Wolves did some things that made it very difficult for the Kings last night. But if you just do one or two things slightly better that you've done better all season long, you're talking about being on the right side of this thing and celebrating a playoff clincher last night at Golden 1 Center. So it wasn't the type of loss where I go, whoa. This team's a fraud. You know what I mean? I definitely was watching that game and going, man, the Timberwolves sure make things difficult for, or are sure making things difficult for the Kings here tonight.
I think Ward's thrown a little off. He said, LOL, what? Excited to see the third film of a movie without seeing any? No, I'm excited to see all three is my point. And I'm looking forward to seeing all three. I just have failed. I wanted to see Creed really bad. I wanted to see the second one really bad. I'm a big fan of the Rocky
really
movies.
Good.
So I've got to catch up.
Might have shed one or two tears.
Well, now you're starting to give away a little bit. So
did I shed tears? Is that a spoiler?
Yeah, because it probably means something sad happens to the good guy.
No, that's not why I shed tears. Okay. Not necessarily.
You just randomly shed tears.
Something
in a movie?
Bad happened to the bad guy.
Yeah, that's more Rami style.
I will say this. They have very sympathetic and empathetic bad guys in the Creed trilogy.
Spencer Alsey says, Herter should have only had 4 fouls, one of which was a terrible foul call that Mike Brown wouldn't challenge because it was too early. Here's the thing. I don't know if Spencer is referencing the foul that actually should have been on Keegan. Katie mentioned that the fourth foul should have been on Keegan and not on Herter. I believe, somebody correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I do believe if the officials look back at it in a replay review, they can actually change the foul. So you could technically win the challenge, but they could still call the foul on Keegan.
Right.
And you would lose the challenge. So it wasn't just that, you know, it was too early. It was because when the review happens, they can go back and say, oh, no, Keegan fouled them. That foul happened. I believe they can do that. I've seen it happen.
I'm pretty sure I have, too. And that would have changed nothing as far as the outcome for the team. It would have saved Kevin Herter a foul and maybe a few more minutes on the court. But as far as the end result and its impact on the game, it would have pretty much changed nothing. And one thing I don't think we can complain about last night, also something we can point to and say, well, nothing to worry about here because the Kings have done this much better all season. They had 40 free throw attempts last night, man. They only hit 32 of them. Hit a few more of those, and we're talking about a clincher at Golden 1 Center last night.
Spencer says he was not talking about him getting his fourth, and the fifth was not a foul.
I mean, maybe not, but I really don't think the officiating is something we can sit here and really pound the table over today.
I think Spencer is talking about the foul that was called on the Conley drive, where it certainly looked like Conley might have leaned into him, and there was some body involved. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was a great call, but least of the issues I thought last night to a point. And you could also question, by the way, Coach Brown leaving in Herter with 4 fouls when he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a risk he takes. He has taken it with Domas. He's taken it with others.
Yep.
Sometimes it works. Last night it backfired. You didn't take him out when he picked up his fourth early in the third quarter. It cost him his fifth, and now you got to sit him for a long stretch. Meanwhile, the rest of the others, man, just not good enough last night. especially through the first three quarters. So you had Domas and Fox go 53, 14, and 10 combined. But then you had Keegan, 3 points, six rebounds, 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 6 from three. Herter, the first quarter through the third quarter, and he did play 19 and a half minutes. So don't tell me it's just because he didn't play at all. He was 5 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He was 2 of 5 from the field, 1 of 3 from three, and he had those 5 fouls. Malik Monk. Oh, we had the full Malik Monk experience last night, didn't we? Some of the fun playmaking, the great pocket passes to Domas, and then the absolutely atrocious quick shots. That was the full Malik Monk experience.
It was. That was the full Monk.
He went full Monk on
full
us.
Full Monk.
The first through the third, 4 points, 0 rebounds, 2 assists. In the first three quarters, Monk shot 2 of 9 from the field, 0 for 3 from three. Trey Lyles, first quarter through the third quarter, 3 points. He did have 8 rebounds. I credit him on that. He shot 1 of 3 from the field, 1 of 1 from three-point land. So, I mean, when you look at the first through third quarters, Monk and Herter and Lyles gave you a combined 12 points on just terrible shooting. Monk and Herter found it a little bit in the fourth. They each scored 8 points to give you 16 in that quarter combined. But then, as I talked about, by that moment, defense let you down, defensive rebounding let you down,
yeah. And
you couldn't just get enough done.
Yeah, it was too little too late from those guys. And when you don't have the supporting cast and the others stepping up, because you don't have a Steph Curry, you don't have a LeBron James. Like, De'Aaron Fox and Domas Sabonis have had great seasons, and I agree with Mike Brown, both deserve to be All-NBA. But those guys aren't, you know, the absolute top tier of player, and so they need a little bit more help from the supporting cast and the others than some other guys around this league, and it just wasn't there last night, Nick. Which, again, maybe something we point to and go, you can expect that to be better. No big deal. Just a blip on the radar.
Scooter 916, you never, never in all caps go full Monk.
No. I've tried it a few times. Never
again,
ends well.
I'm trying to watch Malik, and I enjoy Malik. But the roller coaster of his play sometimes, I don't know how coaches do it. The ups and downs, the extremes sometimes with Malik, where like I'm just like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't, why? And then the next quarter, he's like Superman. And it's like, all right, here we go. Pocket passes to Domas, knocking shots down, turnarounds in the lane.
It is a bit frustrating. It is a bit make you pull your hair out.
The Monk experience is something, man. It is absolutely a thing. All right, we'll continue
you
with
don't
you.
Have any hair to pull out? Shave your head again?
Shave my
hair.
I always shave. Always shave it. We will continue with your Kings reaction. Also, are people overlooking how volatile the 49ers QB1 situation actually is? We'll get into that as well next. All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. We will get to the 49ers QB1 situation, which to me seems more volatile than people want to give credit for. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, a question on the YouTube chat I wanted to ask you. Mama, there go that man. Asks you, Rami,
great handle.
Asks us.
Yes.
Do you think the Kings should start load managing?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I don't know. You want the 3 seed, which they're pretty close to lock. I think they're going to lock up the 3 seed and a playoff spot. I know we're about to go around the West in a second.
If the this is how it's going to work. If the Suns go undefeated with KD, because KD is coming back tomorrow, if the Suns run the table with KD back, the Kings need 3 wins to get the 3 seed.
Okay.
Out of the final, what is it now, 7 games?
Sure.
So they need to go at least 3-4 if the Suns run the table. If the Suns lose a game, that obviously swings it to different numbers.
For every loss, that's one less win.
I would say get the 3 seed first before you start worrying about.
Yeah, get the 3 seed before you start locking, before you start load managing. I'd probably agree with you there. But if you have I think they've already load managed to some degree with both De'Aaron Fox and Kevin Herter. They said if this is a playoff game or a game that we really need to win, those guys are out there playing tonight. You know what I mean? That in a sense, is load management when you slow play it or play it safe with injuries and sick guys when they could be playing. You know, and I'm okay with that 100%.
All right, let's go to Ben here really quick before we get to the Niners quarterback situation. He wants to talk about Kings. Hey, Ben, what's up?
Benny. Hey guys, what's going on? Thanks for having me. Just real quick, you know, I see why the Kings lost. Worst 3-point percentage in a game since 2020. That's kind of insane, especially with the way the game's played now and how good we are. And then, you know, the defense was terrible. You know, I want to know if you guys noticed this, because I feel like I only see it when I see them play the Wolves, especially with their starting five. Do they just look like larger individuals? Even on screen, I know they are. They just seem so massive. And it's like, did they go out and say, give me the biggest guy at each position, we're going to start him? that's the way it looked to me. I'll let you guys go. Thanks for having me.
All right, Ben. Thanks. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, look, when they went out and Gobert had that feel to it, right? It's like, all right, we're going to go get Rudy. And they do have a monstrous team. Conley's not a big dude, right? But, I mean, they're playing McDaniels and Ant Edwards and you know.
Am I crazy or does Naz Reid look like the largest human being on a bat? And I know
he's a big dude.
Like he's listed at 6'9". Sometimes I'll watch these games with my girlfriend, and it's good to have, like, a perspective of somebody who doesn't usually watch sports. And she saw Naz Reid, and she goes, he's huge. He carries himself like a very large man.
He stands up very tall.
There's something. Dude, Naz Reid just looks gigantic on a basketball court.
I mean,
there's,
when you think about it, we talked a little about it yesterday, myself and JJ. Like, I mean, you go down the line, man. Kyle Anderson is a bigger wing. Ant Edwards is a big two guard. I mean, he's pretty much a three. McDaniels can play the 2, 3, or 4. Cat can play the 4 or the 5, and maybe even sometimes the 3 if need be. Naz Reid can play like the 4 and the 5. Gobert is a giant of a human. Like, they throw out a lot of dudes who are big.
He's only 6'9". I don't believe Naz Reid is only
6'9". It is tough to believe when you watch him play. All right, we'll get back to the Kings, Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports on this Tuesday. But let's get to the Niners in this QB1 situation. The Brock Purdy dilemma, if you want to call it that, continues. Here was John Lynch yesterday.
I think Brock has earned the right with the way he played that he's probably the leader in the clubhouse at that. You know, I'll let Kyle make those kind of decisions, but I know when we talk, I think Brock's probably earned that right to be the guy. If we were to line up, he'd probably take that first snap. And I'm really excited about where Trey is at with his progress from his injury. He's been working really hard and, love the opportunity to be able to bring in Sam Darnold and his skill set. We think it's a really good fit. And so we like that. We like that room a lot.
So he's the leader in the clubhouse to be the guy. Here was NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on the idea of Purdy being that leader in the clubhouse.
It would be a surprise if Brock Purdy was not the leader in the clubhouse. And the entire story of the 49ers offseason is not, is Brock Purdy going to be the starting quarterback? I think anyone who watched the season play out, who knows 49ers, I mean, this is going to be their guy. They hope not just for this year, but for the future. It's can he get healthy. And, you know, the date of the surgery makes it a challenge. It is not impossible, but, you know, he's going to be throwing, they believe, by 3 months from surgery. It will be tight. And I think one of the reasons why Sam Darnold was a priority for them, Mike, is because if Purdy can't play the first couple of games, they needed someone who can come in and play, who has been there and been a starter and been through it. And that's what, you know, I don't view it as a competition, but Darnold is a security blank.
Meanwhile, you had Kyle Shanahan speak today, and Shanahan said, we really have no idea what's going on with Purdy. This could be a 6-month recovery. It could be an 8-month recovery. He could be back week 1. He could be back week 4. I think some people, Rami, are overlooking the volatility, man. Like, Trey Lance hasn't played a lot. Sam Darnold has failed everywhere he's gone in the NFL. And you have no idea if your leader in the clubhouse is going to be ready for week 1, week 4. Maybe, who knows? Maybe it'd be week 5 or 6.
Do you think last year lulled him into a sense of security?
Like the false sense of security?
At the quarterback position? Because last year, they started the season, Nick, and we were sitting here going, you're really handing the keys over to Trey Lance with as good a team as you have, and you're in the middle of a Super Bowl window? You're gonna hand the keys over to Trey Lance? That seems a little sketchy. That seems like shaky ground that you're standing on there. And then they went, and Trey Lance got hurt, and they went to Jimmy, and we're like, you're going back to Jimmy, huh? Yeah. We've done this before. I don't know. Yeah. If that's the best play at quarterback, and he got hurt, and then Brock Purdy comes in, and we're like, oh, man, season's over. And then Brock Purdy steps up and gets the job done, gets him the NFC Championship. Do you think they just they're looking at this now and they're going, as long as we have a guy at quarterback, like NFL replacement level quarterback, as long as we got that, we're good. Because the rest of this roster is so good.
Part of me would say yes, that that's like a philosophical thing that, hey, we can survive because we've got this defense and we've got this skill position group. We can survive with an average quarterback. But then you think, well, this is the team that made that dramatic trade to move up in the top three to draft Trey Lance because they thought he was the future. True. He was a can't-miss stud, right? This was the team that battled, reportedly, inside the facility about Tom Brady and whether or not they should go after Tom Brady. So there have been instances over the past couple of years where they've shot their shot. But, you know, it does seem like they're left with this idea of just get us somebody who can complete a pass and we'll be fine. What I would love to know is, were they left with Sam Darnold? Because there were better options, man. Like, mm-hmm. I'd rather have Marcus Mariota. I'd rather have Gardner Minshew. I'd rather have Baker Mayfield.
People aren't going to like this. I'd rather have Jimmy G.
But at least you could look at Jimmy G and he's getting paid, right? Sure. Like, those other guys are getting nickels. Mariota, Minshew, and Baker, all of them I would take over Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are making roughly the same money as Sam, if not less. So was this a situation where those three guys particularly turned down San Francisco because they didn't think they were going to get the opportunity that they'll get at other places? Or was this actually John Lynch and Shanahan, like, eyeing Sam Darnold, saying, that's the guy we want? Because if so, I do not get that at all.
And also, Nick, they might not – let's say you believe in Brock Purdy. Fine. A, too small a sample size for you to not have a plan B at quarterback in the middle of a Super Bowl window. And B, you might go 4 or 5 weeks – with Trey Lance or Sam Darnold or some combination of those two guys as your starting quarterbacks. All we know about those two guys in their time, Trey Lance has not impressed in the little time that we've seen him and gotten injured. Those are the two things he's done in the little bit of time that we've seen him. And Sam Darnold has lost at the NFL level. That's what those two guys who you're going to hand the keys over for at least the first 4 or 5 weeks to. And I'm not saying your season can be over after 4 or 5 weeks, but you sure could be behind the eight ball. It's not out of the realm of possibility that you're behind the eight ball. And I know you like the rest of your roster. To me, I look at a roster that good and I go, we got to make sure we're set at quarterback. I don't want to waste this. I think they look at that roster and they go, it doesn't really matter who's at quarterback. We're so good everywhere else. It doesn't really matter what we got going on at quarterback.
You go 2-2 in the first month, 1-3, worst case scenario, you know, without Purdy in the mix, then you're bringing back your quarterback. Is he going to be healthy? How's he going to respond? I just think, you know, everybody's talking about how great the Niners are. And look, the roster is really, really good.
Really good.
But the quarterback is incredibly volatile. Coming up next, if you're going to slide into someone's DMs, make sure it's the right someone. Well, mystical.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I go. Happy Tuesday, everybody. You know, if you plan on sliding into someone's DMs, Rami,
yes,
you might want to make sure that it is the right person that you're sliding into their
DM. It's a good place to start. Yeah. It is a good place to start.
So a random story, of course, because what else would catch this guy's eye? A random story caught Rami's eye over the last 24 hours. So this is Callie Lawson Freeman writing about Angel Reese. Angel Reese is on the LSU women's basketball team. She's a star. And this is in Yahoo. Thanks to Angel Reese's mom, it's apparent the NCAA tournament chaos has gone beyond bracket struggles. Amid the matchups on the court, Reese has received some misdirected messages concerning a different kind of matchup. My goodness. Since she and her daughter share a name.
Well played.
So Angel Reese, her mother has the same name, Angel Reese. So there's the confusion. FYI, this is what Angel Reese, the mom, wrote on Twitter. FYI, I am Angel Reese, the mom, not the LSU women's basketball player. Please be mindful when you tag and or send me DMs that your intent is to me, not my daughter. I'm getting some crazy dating requests from men my kid's age who clearly, by the content of the messages, think they're sending it to Little A. Now, if you haven't seen Angel Reese, she goes by the nickname Bayou Barbie. According to an NIL marketing and sponsorships report from Sponsored United, Reese is raking cash in with the most brand endorsements among both male and female college basketball players.
Good for her.
The nickname Bayou Barbie has become so popular that Reese's mother and her NIL representative said last month they were beginning the Bayou Barbie trademark process.
Nice.
So these thirsty dudes watching Angel Reese in the women's basketball tournament are sliding into Angel Reese's mom's DMs to hit on her.
Dude, there's so much about this that I just is out of my purview, Nick. I'm not going to say I'm beyond sliding into some DMs in my dating days. A few times I tried to slide into some DMs, okay?
I've never done that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've been with Kelly since I was 23, 24.
Yeah, it wasn't really a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I was with Kelly well before Twitter was a thing.
The two girls dated previous to my current girlfriend, both DMs.
Really?
Yes, sir.
You got a really good DM game, huh?
I'm much better at DMs than I am in person.
You're like, what's it, the Will Smith movie, was it Hutch or whatever, where he like teaches guys
Hitch. You should teach how to you slide should, in DMs.
Yeah. Teach the DM game.
But
Hutch.
But
what the hell is Hutch?
I don't know.
Is it a piece of furniture?
Who are these dudes who have the self-confidence that you see a gorgeous girl playing basketball on TV and you're like, I got to shoot my shot, man. Let's go find this girl on Twitter. You know what I mean?
I got to make this happen.
Me and the Bayou Barbie. We're hooking up. We're getting married. We're going to make little Bayou Barbies. Who has that confidence or delusion that you just see a pretty girl on TV and you try and slide in the DMs? That was the first question that ran through my mind. Secondly, dudes, if you're going to slide into some DMs, don't be a creep. You know,
yeah.
I'm assuming
if you start at the creep level,
right, exactly,
you're going to have a tough time.
I'm assuming that when she says clearly by the content of messages, they think they're sending to Little A. What are you sending to this poor lady? What are you sending to this, to her mom of all people?
Poor mom's just like, man,
I promise you, she's getting pictures she did not ask for. Okay. And too many women are getting too many pictures in their DMs that they did not ask for, all right? Stop that. Wait until it's asked for, and even then, be like, are you sure? But the third thing that crossed my mind, Nick, was, is she sure that these are for her daughter?
I mean, she has to be, right?
I'm taking a look at Mama Reese's pictures.
Yeah.
I would say it's not 100%.
I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these dudes.
Wait a minute.
We're looking.
Are we creeping on Mama Reese now? Is that what we're doing?
I had to see.
Is that what we're doing? What's her handle?
A-W-E-B Breeze.
Oh my God. What's A-W what?
It's in the article you were
Alphabet
just reading from.
Soup.
It's in the article you were just reading from A-W- a second ago. There's a tweet in there.
Yeah, but
embedded
I
in there.
I don't read the whole
link,
article.
You can just
I copy and paste.
I know, but you can just, oh, okay, I see. Yeah, so I can't.
It's not that important. So maybe they are trying to.
Maybe. I'm just saying, she might be mistaken. They might be.
Mom is too humble. She might be the one getting hit on. Like, no, moms, you got a game. You got
a
game.
They might actually just be sliding in your DMs. And just because they're your daughter's age doesn't stop a lot of dudes. They might have had that delusional confidence I talked about earlier where they saw her sitting in the stands clapping for her baby and they're like,
Maybe.
I could be Bayou Barbie's stepdad. I don't know.
Hopefully Emily's not listening. In another story that caught our eye, Afro Man, his last hit, which we will not talk about, you might get in trouble given the parent company. His last hit was in the year 2000, but he is being sued by a police department. He's being sued by Ohio officers who botched a raid of his home. So Ohio officers raided his home, like a full SWAT raid, knocked his door down,
yep,
all of it.
Rammed through a gate. He had a gate, like, up at the front of his property.
And then found out, oops, we shouldn't have done that. And so Afro Man made a video, and he has actual surveillance from his house.
You like a music video.
Yeah, you have to watch the video because it is... At one point, one of the cops is like walking by a lemon pound cake and is just like mesmerized by the cake. And so Afro Man wrote a song about this happening to him. And in the video, he shows some of the surveillance video of the cops messing up and having pretty much an illegal raid into his house.
Mm-hmm.
And so the police department is suing for invasion of privacy and emotional distress. The police department is suing him for invasion of privacy and emotional distress.
And they said that he violated their rights.
Yeah. The guy
whose door was kicked in.
Guy who had a
gate
raid.
Was crashed out.
Yeah.
You,
Afro Man, are the one that had invaded our privacy.
Is there a better clapback to that than making a music video?
So let's give the people a little bit of a taste of the song. Here's the Afro Man song that he made. Just listen to the lyrics. It's fantastic.
Will you help me repair my gate? Will you help me repair my door? Did you find what you was looking for? Will you help me repair my gate and door?
It's catchy. I'm all in.
And a simple request, really.
Would you like a slice of lemon pound? You can take as much as you want.
I didn't stick around for the second verse. I'm going to be real.
Would you like to have a slice of my lemon pound cake?
Genius.
All right.
Musical genius.
It goes on for a good 2.5 minutes.
Love that, dude.
And so if you're watching the surveillance footage, obviously echoes what he's singing. So would you like to pay for my gate or help me repair my gate? They show the cops barreling through his gate outside. And he's talking about the door. They're just smashing the frame, and then the door comes flying off. And the lemon pound cake is the video of the slightly overweight cop who's walking by the lemon pound cake like, oh, hold up. I stopped the raid for this right here.
You looked at that cake like some of those dudes were looking at Bayou Barbie.
trying to slide into Afro Man's DMs, get the recipe. That homemade lemon pound cake? But again, it is absolutely priceless that Afro Man is getting sued for invasion of privacy and emotional distress.
The gall. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Afro Man talks about how his kids were there. The cops are slamming through.
Where does Afro Man live?
No idea. A gated community. Or at least he has a gate for his own home.
I mean, color me surprised that they didn't find anything at Afro Man's house.
What are you saying?
He has a whole song about it, man. You know what I mean? Unless he's in a state where sort of thing is legal.
He was born in California.
What are we doing?
He was born in Palmdale. So I don't know.
Oof.
Oh, well, it was Ohio officers. So
okay.
It had to be Ohio.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Palmdale is one of the only places in California where you'd rather live in Ohio.
That's why he moved. There you have it. He's like, I've had enough of this. It's Ohio.
That says
I go.
It all right there. Thanks for a lot.
Are we concerned about an aspect of Fox's game last night? Find out coming up.